Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments on the broadcast, but I want to talk for at least a few minutes with the publisher of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. And the reason I want to do this is because he is really the primal force behind this book. If it were not for my publisher, Jack Countryman, this book would not exist today. From the very beginning, many, many years ago, he told me to take the questions that I answer on the broadcast, to chisel my answer until just the gem emerges, and to put that in a book. And it took him a number of years before I was convinced to do it. The book has come out now in three different editions. There was an initial edition, then a second volume, then the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and now there's the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated. And quite frankly, when Jack started talking about this project, I didn't know how we could improve on the last one. And it wasn't until I actually saw it in the studio that I realized that, quite frankly, this is the most beautiful book that I have ever seen. It is beautiful in its presentation. Of course, I love the content, but the presentation is exquisite. It's bigger than the last Bible Answer book, and it's etched in silver. It's leather bound. It's just an absolutely exquisite book, and I thought I'd have the publisher, my good friend Jack Countryman, on to talk about his vision for this book and to thank him for making it a reality. Jack, good to have you on the broadcast.
Well, Hank, it's just great to be with you today and to talk about our favorite subject, the Complete Bible Answer Book.
You have been in this business, the business of gift books, and you're the one that talked me into making this a gift book as opposed to what we would call a regular trade book. Talk about the difference between the two and why you thought this was perfectly suited for what is called the gift book category.
Well, as we discussed so many times, that you chisel and really bring about the nuts of the and bolts of really what the subject that you're dealing with. And I just felt like, from my experience, if someone has a beautiful book that they put in their hands and they say, my, this is just wonderful, that first of all, they want to read it themselves. And secondly, they want to give it to someone as a gift. And as we talked about putting this book together, I just couldn't help but feel like this is the perfect subject. I mean, after all, you've done with this book 195 subjects. Can you imagine? This book is as important as a companion piece to the Bible. And then you've added the 25 acronyms, so we have 600 pages here of just a material that is so valuable to our Christian walk, to our Christian belief, to our Christian understanding. And I just am thrilled that we've been able to do it and bring it out. And we're as proud of this particular edition as you are.
Hard to believe when we started this project, Jack, many years ago, that the book now would stand at over 500,000 copies.
Well, it is a miracle, but it also proves that people want to know the truth, and truth matters. And people want to know what is the Bible has to say. And you have been working for 30 years now and telling people about the answers that the Bible has, and it's just a wonderful experience. And we're hopeful to continue to build the numbers. So next time we talk, maybe we'll be talking about 1 million books.
Jack, you have sold so many millions of books in your lifetime. You're in your 80s. Very, very accomplished. A couple of years ago, was privileged to attend your Lifetime Appreciation Award. You were appreciated for how many books you have now put in the hands of people with Christian content?
Well, we have published over 800 titles, and we have now 82 million books in print. The first book that I published, God's Promises for Your Every Need, is now approaching 20 million. So God has really just blessed us beyond all measure.
And the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcaster, outreaches around the world. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. And I mentioned this on a number of broadcasts already this month. We are attempting this month to set a new record in terms of the numbers of people that transition from being occasional givers to monthly CRI support team members. And when you join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to send you a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Jack, your passion for Christian books, you probably could give many, many examples of people whose lives have been transformed by reading a book.
Well, hey, you remember when we were in China together?
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah with Jaja came to us, and I was introduced to him, and you told him that I was a publisher of God's Promises for Your Every Need. And his eyes lit up, and he said, I have that book. I've had that book for 17 years. And it's all worn and tattered, and I said to him, you'll have a new one in the morning. I just couldn't believe that we were over in China, in Shanghai, and the man had read the book that I published in 1982.
And I think that's a great example of the fact that people in America read the book in English and oftentimes fail to recognize that these books are translated into many different languages, and they literally touch people around the globe.
Yes, the fact of God's Promises is now in 29 different languages.
Well, Jack, you have been a great friend to me for many years, and I wanted to have you on the broadcast to publicly thank you for not only urging me to do this book, because without you, as I mentioned at the opening of the show, the book wouldn't be a reality, but I appreciate the fact that you and the rest of the staff at Thomas Nelson have put your your genius to work in terms of the presentation itself, because it's not just the cover, leather bound and etched in silver, but it's the complementary colors inside, the way the titles are laid out. I mean, it's just a masterpiece.
Well, you know, Hank, you've often said you want to equip Christians to mine the Bible for all of its wealth. And I appreciate the opportunity that you have given us to serve you in this fashion, because you are making a difference in the kingdom. And the material that you have in your book is so essential for people to get to learn, to become aware of what is going on in the world, in the cults, in abortion, in Mormonism, in the gay life, in doctor, all the different things, the acronyms that you've placed in the book are just so essential that I really want to urge people to get this book in their hands, and it will change your life and bring to light the path that God really wants for each and every one of us to take.
Again, check the book out on the web at equip.org. Jack, before you go, I want you to talk for a moment about your age. And the reason I want you to do that is because you are the youngest person I have ever seen in their 80s, and you believe that every single moment is precious, and every time I see you, you're excited about life. You recognize that what you do now counts for all eternity. I want you to share that passion with our audience.
Well, I'm 86, and I believe that retirement is not in the Bible. It's never a part of life, and my ambition has always been, I'm an old athlete, and my motto has always been, Lord, don't put me on the bench. Keep me on the playing field. Keep me out where the action is. Let me be a part of what you're doing. And if you do that, I will serve you faithfully. And that is my passion. That is my belief. That is my life.
And every single breath is significant. I remember my dad telling me that, Jack, when he was struggling with a fibrosing in the lungs, it encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen. And as he was dying, I asked him, Dad, don't you just want to get out of the misery, go home and be with the Lord? And he said, no, son, every single moment God gives me is precious. And as I've shared with you privately, he was able to pray for every one of his children and every one of his grandchildren and every one of his great-grandchildren before he went home to be with the Lord. So even his last breath was significant. So what you're doing is encouraging all of us to run the race, to finish the race, to complete the race that the Lord our God has given us, so that when we stand before him, he can say, well done.
Amen. Amen, my brother.
Well, Jack, you have been a great friend to me, as I said, and I really appreciate the work that you've done on this book. Give Laura and the rest of the team my regards and tell them how deeply grateful I am. I know people, this has been one of the greatest months we've had, and we're just into it a few days. People are getting this book, and they're passing it on to other people. It's been a wonderful resource to equip people.
Well, we're just so privileged to be a part of it and be able to bring it to the marketplace. And we are as pleased with the beauty of the book as you are. You know, this book has 600 pages of absolute gold. So I want to encourage everyone to get the book, to read it, and be a part of their life.
Jack Countryman, he is the founder of the book division, the gift book division at Thomas Nelson, a great friend of mine for many, many years. Appreciate having you on the show, Jack.
Well, thank you, Hank. It's been my privilege.
And remember, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Get your copy for your gift all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28. 2871. Our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When we come back from the break, we'll be going right to your questions. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. If you don't have the CRI app, it's just an incredible tool. You can have the shows that you listen to archived. You can listen to the broadcast live. In addition to that, you can read hundreds of articles. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the Equip app. So simply go to equip.org/app and download your app today. It's free, and it will certainly make a difference in your life. Again, we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised, updated, available for your gift. Please go to the web right now, get your copy, equip.org. Back in just a few.
The average Christian can't be expected to be a Bible scholar. And in today's fast-paced, quick-fix culture, few people are going to do the heavy lifting of systematically searching Scripture to find the answers they need to what can be a very long list of questions. Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, offers you concise, accessible, and thoroughly researched answers. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book, and now he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition revised and updated. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, talking about the Huffington Post, the religion section, and there's a blog by a guy named Andrew Farley. I don't know how these guys get to have a following, but he says, if anyone would like to pray the Lord's Prayer, they certainly can. But to be consistent, make sure that you include Jesus' conclusion to the prayer by saying this to our God. Father, if I forgive others for their sins, then you will forgive me, but if I fail to forgive those around me, then you will not forgive me either. He goes on to say, logically then, this would be your gospel. God's forgiveness of your own sins would be entirely contingent upon you fully forgiving others first. Well, that's not the logical conclusion. The truth of the matter is, as Christians, we are called to be willing, that's the operative word, willing to forgive. If we are not willing to forgive, and by the way, we cannot affect reconciliation. It's always a two-way street. Take someone willing to forgive, someone wanting to be forgiven. But he's taking on the Bible Answer Man and my objections to his theology, all the while instructing his devotees not to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's incredible. Why? Because according to Andrew Farley, Jesus instructs his followers to forgive as we have been forgiven, and that is no longer valid. It's Old Testament. But is it really? Even a cursory reading of the Bible tells us that this is as New Testament as it is old. You think about Paul making an explicit command in Ephesians 4:32. He says, be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. He's commanding believers to forgive, just as Christ forgave us. And the same thing is true in Colossians chapter 3:13, where Paul says, bear, it's another command, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive, says Paul, as the Lord forgave you. And of course, you see this elsewhere in the teachings of Jesus. Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. James says judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And I said many times on the show, the story of the two debtors that Jesus told really amplifies all of this. Remember the first, he owed his master around $20 million. The second, less than $20. The master forgives the multi-million dollar debtor. However, the man who had been forgiven so much ends up tracking down the man who owes him so little, grabbing him by the throat and dragging him away to debtor's prison. And when his master heard what he had done, the condemnation was swift and severe. The ungrateful servant was thrown into jail to be tortured until he could repay his debt in full. And that was never. And remember what happened when Jesus finished telling that story? He turned to his disciples. He said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." And of course, the disciples immediately got the point. Andrew Farley doesn't get the point, but the disciples did. The debts we owe one another are like mere $20 bills compared to the infinite debt we owe our Heavenly Father. And since we have been forgiven an infinite debt, it's a horrendous evil to even consider withholding forgiveness from those who seek it. So if even for a moment we wonder whether or not to forgive our debtors, that parable should soften our heart, should illumine the darkness of our mind. And all of this is all part and parcel of a growing number of teachers in pulpits around the land who are telling their devotees, don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Much of what you find in the gospel has nothing to do with you. Discard it. Don't pay attention to it. It's not relevant. It's Old Testament. And so they say, don't confess your own sins. Because if you do, you're cheapening God's unmerited favor, or worse, you're mocking God. And of course, this is directly against the teachings of Scripture. John urged his dear children in the faith. They say, well, these were Gnostics. No, he says, dear children in the faith, those who have been forgiven on account of Christ, to continually confess their sins. This is not cheapening God's grace. It's purifying our hearts. It's restoring our joy. And David, of course, did this very thing in the Old Testament. It is an example for us today. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. He had a contrite, broken spirit when he sinned. He confessed his sin. And James, the brother of Jesus, explicitly exhorted believers, confess your sins to one another, but also to God. And what is going on here is very clearly, by way of the grammar that's being used, a continuous confessing of our sins. Each time we partake of the Lord's table, we're told to confess our sins. That's what Paul tells us to do. So we will not come under judgment. Continuous confession brings with it the certain promise that God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I ended up tackling this very issue in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, because of this pernicious teaching. And it is pernicious to tell people not to pray the model prayer. Very, very dangerous. It's disturbing. When I read the blog in the Huffington Post, I just could not believe a Christian not only teaching this, but the poor argumentation that is used. It's incredible to me how people like this gain a following within the body of Christ. Just incredible. Unthinkable. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cal. He's in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I have a question about Matthew 5, the Beatitudes here. where Jesus is telling us to go beyond the old law and things such as you've heard it said, but I say to you, in regards to anger and lust and so on. I really want to understand, about that. First of all, is he speaking specifically to the disciples? And also, what do we do with that now? I'm sort of wondering, it seems like he's really raising the bar high, and I've even heard the theory to say that we can take part of the meaning to be that we can't fulfill the law perfectly in this way, and that we maybe need Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's a brilliant observation on your part. That's precisely what's going on here. I mean, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I actually memorized this, chapter 5, 6, and 7. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ says, "Be perfect then, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And, you know, obviously none of us can be perfect. And you remember the scribes and the Pharisees, they tied their mint and their cumin, but they neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and righteousness and equity. But they were the standard. What Jesus is saying, let me take the standard beyond the standard. Let me take this to its logical conclusion to show to you that no one can do what is required. And then he said, I didn't come to abrogate, as it were, the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them. So certainly that law has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. We're no longer under the curse of the law. But the fact that we're not under the curse of the law does not mean that we should not confess our sins, not only to one another. I mean, imagine the absurdity of telling someone, if you do something to your wife that hurts her deeply, telling them you don't have to confess your sins to your wife. Not necessary. You told her you loved her when you married her, don't have to say it again. This is absurd. This is crazy talk, quite frankly. And this is what we're hearing from pulpits. All of the Bible is efficacious for us today. And quite frankly, this false dichotomy that is so often made between the old and the new is deflective. The truth of the matter is the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, because Jesus Christ is the substance that fulfills the shadow. But Abraham was saved exactly like we're saved. He wasn't saved by keeping the law, as though that was what you had to do in the Old Testament, but now we don't in the New. No, he was saved because he looked forward in faith to the coming Messiah. Through types and shadows, he looked forward. As through a dimly lit room, he looked forward. But he looked forward. And it wasn't after he got circumcised that he was saved. It was before. That's what Romans 4 tells us explicitly. So we're saved in the same way in the Old Testament as in the New. One is prefigured through types and shadows. The other, the substance has come, and we can look back from our vantage point at the substance. In all of this is why I've written the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your support at the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Those who join the monthly CRI support team personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Get back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Having dismissed the salt and light of God's Word, we shouldn't be surprised to see corruption abounding and darkness increasing as a consequence. Yet when you ponder the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation, which ones would not be improved through a pervasive and deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths? That's why you need the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. How should Christians respond to the LGBTQ community? What about Easter celebrations? Should Christians fear death? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more are the questions answered in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive Hank's revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our, well, before we go back to our phone calls, do you want to just mention briefly that we're trying to set a record this month in terms of people joining the monthly CRI support team. It just means so much to our outreaches around the world, and if you could join the team, obviously I want the Holy Spirit to lead you, but if you can join it would be deeply appreciated, and I'll be pleased to personalize the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition revised and updated to you, a family member, or a friend. If you got the old one, you're going to love the new one, again, available for your support this month and personalized for those who join the monthly support team. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by 888-7000 And the letter is CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jean, listening in Canada, Calgary, beautiful city, CHRB. Hi, Jean.
Hi, and thank you for your program and the journal, and I just have learned so much from both. And my question is Exodus 34 and verse 7, where visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And I don't understand that about...
Yeah, that has to do, Jean, with the consequences of sin. Because the Bible is very, very clear about the fact that each person is culpable for their own sins. But you can well imagine that if one generation of the Israelites sins, it has an impact on the next generation. What we're doing right now as parents is having a great impact on our children. If we nurture them in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, they're going to be change agents in the culture. If we fail to do that, they're going to be cultural conformists. But what the Bible makes clear, and you can go to Ezekiel chapter 18, and this is not just a verse. You can look at the entire passage. It is devoted in its entirety to the notion that the soul who sins is the soul who will die. In fact, there's a proverb that God repudiates in this passage. The proverb says that the father eats sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And God says, I want you to no longer quote that proverb in Israel because every living soul belongs to me. The father as well as the son, both alike belong to me. And the soul who sins is the one who will die. Later on in that same chapter, Ezekiel says he will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live, but his father will die for his own sin. And then again, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. So again, an entire chapter devoted to the premise that each person is responsible for their own sin. And that's the theme of the scripture. We can either respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject that. But consequences for sins are visited throughout the generations, and certainly the Bible makes that clear, and we see that in a practical sense in our own lives.
Yes. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Elijah, listening in Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Elijah.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call again. I appreciate your program.
My pleasure.
I have a question. It's a simple question that I hope it's not too convoluted. I'm thinking about the fact that is Jesus God's plan B for a plan A that has gone wrong? And this question also presumes that I'm taking into consideration the fact that God is omniscient, and he knew, the Bible say that before the world began, he had predestined us and chosen us. And so that I'm not sure if someone should ask me that, was it that he decided to let it play out, even though when he actually created the world and he knew all that would take place, but he went ahead and let sin play out? Or could he have just taken care of it initially?
Well, he could have, but then there would be no such thing as love. For love to be meaningful, it has to be volitional. So God created people in such a way that they could respond to him or reject his love and grace and goodness. And out of that comes the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So God has created us as volitional beings. We can choose to love him or do otherwise. Now, what's interesting about all of this is the omniscience. It is true that Christ was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. It is also true that God knows the beginning from the end. However, the fact that God knows what is going to happen does not presuppose that what happens is fatalistically determined. If that were the case, we wouldn't wash our hands. We'd say, if God wants my hands clean, he'll wash them. He'll get them clean whether I wash them or not. And as I've mentioned many times on this broadcast, you can look back in your own life and know things with absolute certainty that you were not the causal agent of. So the knowledge of something does not presuppose that you are the causal agent of that thing. God knows the beginning from the end. We don't know the end, but we do know what happened in our past. So the fact that he knows all things, again, does not mean that all things are fatalistically determined. Fatalistic determinism has no place, in my view, in a Christian worldview. It works well in philosophies like philosophical atheism or naturalism. If you're nothing more than brain chemistry and genetics, then you have no free will. It's all determined by molecules of motion.
Okay, I mean that's well put. That was a great answer. I was grappling with that a little bit because I've heard somebody had asked that on a blog, on Facebook, and then some other places, and I've thought about it, but I was not sure how that relates to free will, because in any way that I would argue, that means taking away our free will. If God had a plan B and then and still decided to go ahead with a plan A and say, okay, I want a sinless society, that will be taking away our free will.
And take away love, taking love out of the equation. Look, we know before we have kids that those kids are going to suffer, and yet we choose to have kids. And God knew that Adam would sin. He knew that you would sin. He knows what your next sin is going to be. But you're still culpable for your sin because you are making a volitional choice for that sin. But the beautiful thing is that in the midst of all of that, God provides for us a way out, a way of redemption, which leads to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to be, not to sin, because we will have been actualized in our choices.
Yes. I think that's well put. I grasped that from John, what it says, that I chose you, you did not choose me. So I think that the doctrine of adoption really explained that a lot. The fact that you know who you are adopting, and you know all the consequences, you would have actually have an informed decision about what that person is capable of. And not as so God knew us, and he did adopt us anyway. He knew what we would do. That's great. Thanks for your insight on that.
Okay. Thank you, Elijah. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Nick in Layton, Utah. He's listening on KUTR. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for your ministry. We love it all the way out here in Utah.
Thank you.
My question is in regards to a conversation that I had last evening with a Mormon missionary. As you know, the Mormons don't believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, and they have extra biblical canons that they use. So he was trying to prove that the Bible contradicts itself. One way that he did that was bringing up Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelation 22, I think it's 18 and 19. And they both essentially say the same thing, which is do not add or take away from this word. And so what he was saying was, well, if Moses is saying do not add or take away from this word, which he was saying was this book of Deuteronomy, and John says the same thing in Revelation, how is that not a contradiction? And so I was wondering how you would have answered that question.
Yeah, not a contradiction at all. They're saying the same thing. In fact, not just Moses saying it about the Pentateuch, and John saying about his writings, but you find this as a principle throughout the Bible. You can even find it in Proverbs. So the idea here is that you're not to add or subtract from the words of God, because ultimately you don't want a muddy mixture between that which is infallible and that which is patently fallible. So no contradiction whatsoever. The reality is that the Bible demonstrates itself to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But you look at the Book of Mormon, and it is utterly discounted on the basis of both anthropology and archaeology. So it proves itself to be an unreliable revelation, whereas the Bible proves itself to be a reliable revelation. All God is saying is that do not subtract from my words, don't add to them, don't change what I've said. This is my revelation to you. And we have to take that seriously. And of course, revelation really adds the seriousness to this particular passage, tells us what the consequences are if you add or subtract from the Word of God. But yeah, it's absolutely true that Revelation is dealing with the book of Revelation specifically, and Moses is dealing with the Pentateuch specifically, but the principle is a principle that permeates the whole of Scripture.
Amen. Hank, do you remember off the top of your head what proverb it is that you mentioned earlier?
I think it's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, but I'm guessing. I'm trying to pull this out of my head.
Understood. Well, thank you so much. I'll go and try and search for that. I have another meeting with the individual, and so, and I obviously know that my responsibility is simply to preach the good news, and God will do the rest. And so I just aim to do that as effectively as I can, especially coming out of Mormonism and now being a born-again Christian. I just have this burden to preach the good news to those whom I know are deceived.
And I hope I gave you the right verse. I think I did, but here's the point. I need to move into the technology age and start using a computer in the studio. But, you know, if you do that, then you can't exercise your mind either. So I don't know what the best thing to do is, but I think that's the right verse. I appreciate everybody that stands with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference, not just for time, but for eternity. My thanks to you and for those that give a gift this month. And please be generous. The Complete Bible, when you see this, you're going to recognize the value of this book. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your gift. For those who join the monthly support team, I'll personalize it. Check it out on the web at equip.org. See you next week with more of the show.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.